Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I mean, it's one thing to block one kick. You blocked two last night. The second one almost turned into a disaster, but it didn't. And, Mike, we talk about special teams, the three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams. Cordell Hodge, man, listen, the touchdown in overtime earlier in the year was a big play. But last night, it was special teams and defense that really won this football game for you.
Yeah, man, and they blocked an extra point. So, yeah, that was three blocks. You talked about those two punts. And good field position, has some nice kick returns, which set them up. I mean, the field position game, part of this deal was, if you didn't watch the game last night, is the Raiders started inside like their own 5-yard line. It seemed like every other possession. And that was allowing us to do those things, which, again, the game should have been like 24-3 or something. We just couldn't pull away because our offense couldn't be balanced. You know, it was, we'd wind up with, you know, run, we were going to run on first down on every single play. That got a little bit predictable. And then Bijan still was able to get over 100, get 1,000 for the season.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I was just talking to a couple of guys, can't answer all the texts on the text line, guys, always appreciate you, 404-726-0929. But just in a nutshell, you know, I'll just make it brief. I just, whether it's in the corporate world or in the sports world, in your personal life, there's some things you just know aren't working, you know? And I just don't understand sometimes, well, everyone's got to nod and say, yeah, no, it's the best chance, it's the best. No, we know there's something else, we could try something. A isn't working, let's go to option B. You know, and I don't know what Michael Penix Jr. is going to be. I do know that the general manager of this team told me on this show that this guy was a transformative talent that they could not pass up. Could not pass up! But he's sitting behind a guy who's lost. I get it. You look like a bunch of idiots if you put Kirk Cousins on ice, and now you got the world's most expensive backup quarterback. And I get it. If you start Penix, the toothpaste curl doesn't go back in the tube, and now Cousins is done. Cousins never starts another game if Penix starts, and that's the reality. But you just got to call it what it is. You're going to have to eat it. Okay? This is your big brainstorm. It blew up in your face. So everybody thought it was stupid.
I think the most embarrassing part about this was that the rest of the country witnessed us last night play the way we did, and it didn't do anything to help indulge this idea that, hey, things are different. That's probably the thing that rubs me the most. I live here. We go to these games. I'm going to tell you guys, you can stop sending me all this stuff around the country with other guys. Mike and I are with this coach every single week. Nobody can tell us what the coach is thinking or what the coach is saying. We talk to him every week. But I think that's the most embarrassing part about this is everybody else saw it. And it was like, oh, right. Well, we got to play like this?
Yeah.
Like this doesn't help us put out this image that, hey, we are going to be a problem. It was more like, look at how bad the Falcons are. And that's kind of been the perception for a long time outside of Atlanta. And when you get these primetime games, it gives you a chance to shine and show the rest of the country, hey, man, look how good they are. Wow, look at their quarterback. Look at Drake London. Now, they may be saying that about Bijan last night because he played his butt off. But seriously, the entire product, that to me, Mike, is probably the most embarrassing part about this. We're here. We know what we have. We understand it.
But that was like, okay, here's your moment. Go embarrass the Raiders. And we couldn't even do it.
No, and the other part of this, and this is why, yes, we'll say it for the fifth time here in an hour and 6 minutes. You don't apologize for when we stop the losing streak. But you understand, you get a blocked pass attempt, and the follow-through hit Cousins on the shoulder pads, and they called roughing the passer, which, again, great for us. If they don't call that call, which was a mistake, they get the ball with 2 minutes and 30 seconds and the two-minute warning. And without all that, and even with us possessing it even further, they still came down to the final possession with Desmond Ridder, who you guys know is terrible. So, yes, we can onward and upward. We take on the Giants, and now it's Tommy DeVito. Desmond Ridder, Tommy DeVito, and then eventually we're going to see Jaden Daniels.
Well, we're playing another team, and you said this before the game yesterday, that's vying for the number one overall pick. Whether that's in our equation or not, it's in theirs. So, I mean, you can tell me again. I told you guys this. Nobody runs out on the field and goes, man, we're going to lose tonight. Not one player in the league. The Raiders played as well as they could.
There's pride involved, man.
Absolutely.
Everybody thinks there's a tank. Right?
And made it a game, Mike, as far as, you know, we let them make it a game. But the Giants are going to do the same thing.
If you think this team is going to make some noise in the playoffs, you don't put that on tape last night. That's the bottom line. So, yes, we're happy we won. Happy the losing streak's over. I'd be even happy if Kirk Cousins threw for 3 touchdowns and no picks last night.
Yeah. All right. And I know, again, I say it to Mike all the time. It's hard to win in this league, man. It is. The disparity of talent is a lot less than what you think it is. And that's why these games go and play out the way they do, and they're crazy every Sunday when you go, they had no shot, and somebody shows up. But we, going into this game, we're better. And we just didn't show it the way that I wanted us to last night. And our quarterback is still reeling from all of these picks. It's evident.
And just in case, guys, the Bucs do win out, then we're in the wild card hunt. Right now, guys, Minnesota has locked in already, Carl, their wild card. They'll be the number one wild card spot. That's number 5. And then at 6, it's the Packers, who don't show any signs of leaking. Then it's the Commanders at 7. So the Commanders would have the final wild card position. Ahead of us is Seattle, who Geno Smith is banged up. They're saying he may give it a go this week, but it's Seattle, Washington, us. Arizona's tied with us. We get the tiebreaker over Arizona on the conference record.
Yeah, think about those games, though, guys. Remember the Seattle game? How we played?
That comes back to bite us in the butt. One of our worst games of the year.
Those are the games earlier in the year where you're like, it doesn't matter. They all matter. Because now we're like, oh, man, I wish we would have played better in that game. The Commanders game now becomes huge.
If we finish tied with Seattle, to Carl's point, we lose in the head-to-head. Commanders, that might be a tiebreaker for us. So that's why, I mean, I'm not saying there's no chance. I'm just saying I just don't believe we're going to do anything even if we get in the playoffs.
All right, more of your calls coming up. Appreciate all the input. Obviously, you guys are feeling the same way because the text line at 404-726-0929 is going crazy. Our socials are going crazy. And rightfully so. We say it all the time. We're all in this together. Like, we're all feeling this way because we all are like, what the hey last night? What is this?
You and I have been through so many years with all Falcon fans. I got in here at 98. I know guys who go back to Fulton County that I sit with, and folks who are here from the day one in 66. It's crazy, man. The 5-0 start with Quinn. 6-3, you got the total division wrapped up. Kirk Cousins has been an offensive player of the week twice. You just beat the Dallas Cowboys, even in a game where you played sloppy and you had control of that game. And then you lose 4 of your next 5.
All right. More to get to. Right now, though, we got to get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
He has been sacked 58 times. I'm not talking about our quarterback. I'm talking about Caleb Williams. 18 of 31 last night, 191 yards, 2 sacks in last night's game, but he took a lot of hits, and he got beat up. I think the thing about Caleb, as we talk about these rookie quarterbacks, and Mike, you can tell he is frustrated outwardly
right,
with the way that he's coming across with the expressions, and he said last night, it's funny, after the game, he was reflecting on another Bears loss, and he says it's frustrating, but it's encouraging. He said it's encouraging the way that his team fights, but it's also frustrating because at times you know that they can play a lot better. What are they, an 8-game losing streak now for the Bears? This is guys, and they're trying to figure out who their next coach is going to be. Ryan Poles, their general manager, is going to hire that guy. We'll figure, you know, we don't know who the front runner is. But I will tell you this, all this Belichick stuff we were talking about last week, he called these organizations that have openings. And no one said, "Well, Bill, you know what? We're going to hold a spot for you," which is why he went to college.
Right. Now, the thing with Caleb Williams, he's 23 years of age.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know, and the guy, he transferred around. He certainly was, you know, showed you all the ability as a Heisman. I know there was things that were written about him and said about him, and personnel guys didn't like some of the body language or, you know, personal style choices, which, again, is Cam Newton and Ron Rivera defended the other day about, hey, man, everybody's got their own style. Mm. But I do think there's a maturity issue. We've seen Anthony Richardson tap out. We saw an eight-year veteran Devondre Campbell quit. So I don't know. Maybe it's a new paradigm in the NFL. But don't put your head down like you're sleeping on the bench when everybody's looking at you because you're the leader of the team and the quarterback. So that's a maturity issue. That doesn't help him. You know, for people in Chicago that want to rally around you, don't look like you're that guy. You know, don't be Jeff George, okay? You know, go be Tom Brady.
Yeah, Bears lose. That was the other Monday night game. Speaking of the Vikings, there are a couple of teams right now that just look like juggernauts.
Darnold wasn't great last night.
Didn't have to be.
Right?
There was a fourth down interception. Mm. It's a punt. I mean, I know, you know, you want to say, well, he threw a pick. He did, but it didn't matter because they were that much better than the Bears last night. Meanwhile, around the National Football League, Mike, we talked about the injuries yesterday, and if you didn't hear the show, we were talking about all of these injuries that are affecting potentially the playoff hunt. There are big names that might not play this weekend or will be banged up.
Yeah, we've talked about it from T.J. Watt. Now, there's some guys who aren't playing for anything like Devontae Adams, but nothing bigger than Patrick Mahomes, who said, look, you know, you got to trust your backups. He says, I know Carson Wentz, here's a guy that's won in this league, and he goes, I'm not going to put the Chiefs in a bad position. So even though I certainly want to play, and if this was the playoffs, maybe I would play, so I'm not going to put him in a bad spot. In other words, not 100%, let the backups go in.
All right, the other big news as far as our Falcons is the NFL flexed our Commanders game to Sunday night. It was Dolphins-Browns. That is on 12/29. It is now going to be Falcons at Commanders, which, again, we're trying to focus on what's ahead, but that could be a huge game, and I think it will be for both teams. So that's going to be the 8/20 NBC game, but there have been other changes. Obviously, we get Christmas games, guys. Kansas City at Pittsburgh. If you got Netflix, Ravens at Texans. Then Thursday, we get Seattle at Bears. And Mike, and then you talked about the Saturday games because we have college football, which the college football playoff is playing.
Yep. And again, I got into it with a certain NFL team executive this week off the air about it. I said it's kind of a blank move by the NFL. But of course, as I was reminded by our good friend John Kincaid in Philadelphia, they had Saturday. They already had the high ground, and Kincaid apparently hates the multi-team playoff. So don't forget, guys, in the grab for money, everybody gets a piece. Even TNT gets games. So you got basically arguably less competitive games, although Clemson, Texas may be a surpriser. But SMU, Penn State, you're basically getting these games on Saturday. The better games are at night, not going against the NFL. There are games on Friday. But you'd have thought, in a perfect world, for the fan who loves college and pro football, there would have been an accommodation. Not the way the world works. As we know, you get all these networks and all the money, and basically NBC also has one of the games this week, too. I think they have the AFC games.
Yeah,
so there was no way they were coming off that. So that's why we have this double dip of college and pro on Saturday.
You're going to get three NFL games on Saturday, and then the rest of the slate is going to be on December 29th, which is our Sunday night game. Appreciate you stopping in, as always, with our weekly visit. The good news is we snapped this four-game losing streak, which we absolutely had to. I don't know if we could have endured another L and talking about five in a row. That's the good news.
Right.
I think the bad news, and you tell me where you're at on this, is the overall play of the offense just was not satisfying. Now, maybe I'm a greedy fan. I don't know. But you tell me how you felt last night about our offense.
More specifically, Cousins, I guess.
Correct.
Where it starts and ends.
Outside of Bijan Robinson. Go ahead.
I think what we're looking for, and I think the bigger picture here, is that everybody wants to go back to October. Where is October?
Right.
And, going into the bye week, you beat Dallas and you're kind of thinking, okay, well, here's where we are. You don't have that sinking feeling, right? You came out of the bye week and you had the sinking feeling because you lost at New Orleans, you went on the bye, you came back and you played Denver. And the offense, couldn't stress Denver at all. And the defense had a bad day because Bo Nix looked like John Elway. And then you came back and you were able to get to Justin Herbert, but you couldn't match things offensively and you had turnovers and things of that nature. And I think that's the bigger issue. The bigger issue probably here is the mentality of why can't we find October again? And in particular, why doesn't Kirk look comfortable? And I think it's a fair question. Why doesn't Kirk look comfortable? I thought the interception last night was a ball that got tipped, but nonetheless, I don't think that was the guy it should have gone to, but that's me. And I'm following the ball the whole game, so I can't speak to people that might have been wide open in other places of the field. But I think that's the thing. That's the part of this, because the one thing, and Dave and I talked about this a little bit last night, was the defense all of a sudden in the last five games has played pretty good. The defense is starting to get to the quarterback. They're affecting the game with pressure. They're stopping the run, things of that nature. So I think that's the disappointing part offensively. And specifically, I know there's some concerns about Kirk, but the reality of it is right now that you can't find the rhythm you had in October before you had the bye week.
Yeah, Wes, we talked about it. Special teams was great. You know, the last time you saw two block punts and good.
Special teams was unbelievable.
Yeah, great field position, good kick returns, block field goal. That, I mean, that's great. And again, against an opponent like the Raiders in some of the areas they're struggling, defense was great. You saw guys like D'Angelo Malone get after it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's one of those games where, you know, it shouldn't even be. It should never come. I guess the point of a lot of the audience is it should never come down to that final possession for Vegas.
No, and it shouldn't. And your heart's in your throat when they throw in the end zone twice on the final play, because we've all followed the Falcons long enough to know that, you know what? Yep, Desmond Ridder, here he is, due, right? It's going to happen, right? Desmond Ritter's going to throw in the end zone. We're going to have to live with that one, right? It's that mentality that you're trying to shake as a fan, and certainly as somebody who's seen it happen more than once. But at the same time, they won the game, and now they're on to New York. And I hate to sound like the new Carolina coach here, but the idea of, you know, you got to now put – it's in front of you. The rest of the season is in front of you in weekly increments. And, look, there's enough at stake, not just with the Giants game, but with the one following in D.C., that they've moved that to Sunday night. And, you know, you're going to have to get some help along the way from somebody to beat the Bucs. But, you know, we started the night saying it's in front of them, and it stays in front of them because of the win. And now, you know, what they do within the walls of Flowery Branch, and you guys typically talk to Raheem, so, you know, you're going to find out at least what the latest on it is. But at this point, I think it's – you know, and I know a lot of people want to see a change. I don't know that you can pull the trigger on it. Maybe you can, but I don't know that you can pull the trigger on the change of the quarterback at this particular juncture, because you're still in the hunt with the guy that you brought here to put you in the hunt.
Wes Durham joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about last night's game. Our Sunday night game or Sunday game against the Commanders has been flexed, guys. We've been talking about it today. The NFL making that decision today. That is the 29th. So we will play Sunday night at Commanders if you're just tuning in. Wes, talk about Bijan. I think he's capable. I think he's capable of this if given the opportunity, week in and week out. I've said, you know, time and time again, give him 25 touches, however you want to do it. He got 22 carries last night, and I just thought he was phenomenal in carrying the load. Obviously, Tyler Algier, I think, had 14 for a good chunk as well. But talk about Bijan Robinson.
I just think that you look at the number, and we said it last night, and I think Dave mentioned it to him in the postgame. In the last 2 years, two guys have led the league in games with 100 yards or more from scrimmage, rushing and receiving. There are two guys far and away leading the league, Saquon Barkley and Bijan Robinson. That's who it is. That's the conversation. The conversation is not five guys, it's two guys. And that's just how valuable he is. And slowly but surely, I think he's showing you exactly why Atlanta took him, why he is going to be so valuable, not just the remainder of this year, but moving forward. And I think he is a guy that you can build around with a lot of different pieces. And, look, he had a run last night that went for 14 yards. It looked like a 35- or 40-yard run. And, you know, he's had 3- and 5-yard runs that are the best 3- and 5-yard runs I've ever seen. But he's making people miss now, Carl, at a higher rate than he was, I think, a year ago when, you know, he was shaking down guys on it seemingly was like every third carry, right?
Right.
And so I'm pretty excited about where he's going to go. I think his health obviously is critical. They do a really good job when you go back and look at game to game. They do a really nice job of creating, you know, the NBA term load management. They do a really good job of that. You know, like he'll come out and you won't see him for like maybe one snap in two series, right? Well, there's something to that. And maybe the one snap you see him, he's picking up a blitzer or something like that. And I said to Dave last night on the air, I think that's one of the things that really is undervalued about who he is his ability to take on blitzers. And you know what? He's stone cold muscles some guys now too. I mean, you come in there and think, oh, this is just the running back, and the running back will step it up and put it in your jaw. So I think that's one of the things that I really respect about him. And he is I think he's a consummate team guy. I mean, you know, you see him during the games, he gets excited for things that happen with like Kadarius Hodge or other guys. And I just think that's what you want when your star is a guy who pulls for everybody and wants everybody to have the success too.
No, he's just a great guy. As Wes Durham joins, we say, Wes Drew Ham. We'll talk some college in just a sec. But yeah, he is that dude. And the way he supports Tyler and their dynamic with him and Algier is just great.
Great.
Wes, the thing is, I know I listened to some of the radio broadcasts and heard Arch, and I heard him talking about it.
I appreciate that, Mike.
We support you. And I heard Arch talking about it on Andy Randy as well, is Kirk Cousins sometimes and the footwork. and it's kind of being a little, I guess the phrase is dead feet, you know, and just not having the position to get the ball where it needs to go with some oomph, which gets everybody from friends of ours we talked to in D.C. last week on what the hell's wrong with Kirk Cousins. So I know that they're not going to go to Penix for all the reasons and all the intangibles there, because once that toothpaste is out, then Cousins is done. He never gets back on the field. But do you feel that at some point, would it take being out of the playoffs, and that's the only scenario where ever we see Penix?
Oh, I don't know, Mike. I think, you know, you've got to look at not just what the immediate plan is, but you got to find the rest of it too. I mean, you know, you got 3 years guaranteed here at $100 million, right? I mean, you got to look at it across how it affects everything.
How do they fix him, Wes? How do they fix him?
I don't know that. I mean, I'm not the, you know, Dave's certainly more thoughtful in terms of techniques and all the things than I am. At this point, I wonder, you know, in just in terms of where he is at this stage in his career, you know, to give you the golf analogy, can he hit the ball in the fairway? Mm. Can he stand on the tee with the gallery down both sides and hit it in the fairway? That's kind of what I want to know. I mean, you know, we saw the quarterback doc, right, on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Think about all the stuff he does.
Right.
And that was one of the things that caught my eye long before he ever came here, was the investment he makes to get better as a player. So is he just going through a cycle where right now, you know, the golf analogy again, he can't hit it in the fairway? You know, it's easy for us to speculate and talk about it. It's harder to sometimes manage it and maybe also correct it. And so I think he's the one that has to talk about kind of what he thinks is happening. And maybe, you know, maybe there's some stuff back there he doesn't particularly want to share. I don't know that. I just think it's going to be interesting to see how this ends, because I think there is a lot at stake for the team. Certainly we're trying to get back to the playoffs for the first time since, what, 16?
Right.
You know, it just feels like we're really close as a football team to seeing both sides kick in. Like I said, I think the defense is there. The offense has just got to go find it, for lack of a better term, the October rhythm they had when they were rolling off wins and putting up big numbers. Remember, this same guy threw for 500 yards now against Tampa.
Well, we said it last week. I don't want to be a broken record. That's what makes this so inexplicable. He's the guy we're all pulling for. Carl and I said this. He's one of the most engaging players I've ever covered in Atlanta. And the last thing in the million years we expected was where we are.
I think that with the three of us, we've been in this market a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the toughest part of the whole process is that you wanted this guy here. His professional resume was exemplary in terms of going to be able to get the job done, right? And the first couple of weeks, there was a little bob and fade, and he, you know, got obviously the drive to win the game in Philly. You get into October, and it's like thunder and lightning, man. You got Robinson running it. You got throwing it all over the place. And, you know, and then all of a sudden in New Orleans, there's a blip, and then you go to the bye, and you come back, and you just haven't been able to find that rhythm. That's the part I'm talking about. And how much of that is what the defenses have done? How much of that is, you know, maybe just what he sees with the ball in his hand? And only he, I think, can clearly express kind of what that is, and maybe he's just not ready to share it. That's just speculation on my part. I don't have any inside knowledge of it other than what I see during the course of the ball games.
Wes, before we let you go, look, I still think as we shift gears and talk college football, because the playoffs start this weekend, pressure's on Texas. They're at home. Clemson is playing with house money. Right, they weren't even supposed to get into the ACC championship game. And look at this. So now they go to Austin, and they are an 11.5-point underdog. And I just said to Mike, I think this is a dangerous spot for the University of Texas.
Carl, it is. The horns, Mike.
It is. All right, so that's the 4 o'clock game. And then I want to get your thoughts on Tennessee, Ohio State. Ohio State, by the way, 7-point favorite at home against Tennessee. Clemson's playing with house money, Wes.
Oh, yeah, Clemson's definitely playing with house money. There's no question. I totally agree with you. There's pressure on Texas. There's pressure on Ohio State. And I would say there's pressure on Penn State, by the way, to play SMU. Because if the Ponies go up there and put two on the board early, then all of a sudden you got to have Drew Aller throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Is that what you want if you're Penn State? It's going to be in the low 30s. It's not going to be the – you know, we're not going to have the frozen tundra of State College, Pennsylvania, thank God, since I'm going to be there. But I do believe the pressure is on those three in particular. Texas, because they want to get there so badly for the first time since the early 2000s, right?
Yep.
Ohio State, because it's by God Ohio State. And then certainly Penn State, because they want to shake the stigma of who they are and what they've been. Let's be honest. That Penn State wants to get back to that level where they can contend for the national championship, and they got to beat Cinderella. And, you know, the brands of Texas and Clemson are kind of passing in the night here potentially, right? Because a Clemson loss means four losses. It also means, you know, you're looking at a different kind of Clemson who just took their first transfer kid, right, a wide receiver this week. You know, those type things. And I think there is some intrigue in that. But I also think, too, Clemson knows how this stage works.
Yeah.
And even though these are home games, and I think they're going to be terrific spectacles, I think that game in particular on Saturday afternoon will be fascinating to watch. It really will be.
I'm with you. Hey, man, I'd love to see SMU be the Cinderella story. Like, oh, I think when you have no skin in the game, you're pulling for the underdog. Obviously not for my partner here. I got to root for the Texas.
Yeah, Arizona, Boise, SMU, Arizona State, Boise, SMU. Right. They're all going to be fun to watch, and you're glad to have them. Mike, I'm glad America set you straight on the kick times last night.
What? What's that now?
The CFP and the NFL.
Oh,
I'm glad that you – the NFL has owned this market. The college football playoff is the one.
They
sat in a room and said, let's just us schedule these home games. And then, by the way, when those dates were finally – that's why you see ESPN. I don't know this for sure, even though I work for the folks. ESPN licensed off those games to TNT.
Right. No, I mean, it's all – at the end of the day, Wes
– ESPN doesn't want that rating on their record.
At the end of the day, it's all a lot of greed and the fan who might want to watch, you know – one and then the other, as opposed to doing the sports bar thing. It's fine.
Well,
I get it. I understand the NFL had the high ground on this. John Kincaid is not a fan of the college football playoff, and he reminded me of that.
Here's the other thing, too.
To me, Wes, it just sucks that nobody talks to anybody else and this thing doubles up. It should never be like this. This is supposed to be special.
I think it's going to change because here's the thing. The CFP announced the games knowing full well that the NFL's played on that Saturday for a decade, right? Maybe longer. But you saw what the NFL did after the CFP stood their ground and said, we're going to play. Who's playing the 1 o'clock game and who's playing the 4:30 game?
Yeah, right. It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. They're lowering the boom on the college football playoffs.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Yeah, totally agree. Wes, we got to run, man. Great job.
Take care, guys. You too.
That's Wes Durham, guys, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Coming up, you're going to hear from Raheem Morris, D'Angelo Malone, who had a couple of sacks last night. It's all on the way here as we talk Falcons. They win 15-9 against the Raiders. We still have some issues we got to get fixed, and I don't know if we can fix them. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com. It is Dukes and Bell. We're trying to bring some brevity and levity to this situation. You're going, man, what are y'all talking about? Falcons won last night. Did we? 15-9 was the final score, but it didn't feel like a loss. It just felt
incomplete. That's a convenient narrative.
Come on, Art. It felt incomplete. It felt like it should have been 28-9 or 35. But it didn't play out that way. We're talking about it with you guys. We had three turnovers. We created three turnovers. I said before we left yesterday, we got to get turnovers. We did. Two block kicks, right? I'm talking about specifically from Cordell Hodge. Mike talks about the extra point. So three. And then you had four sacks. If I just showed you that and didn't show you the score and went, hey, Falcons had three turnovers, three block kicks, four sacks. What would you think the score would be?
Yeah, like a 31-6. You know, and that's where it should have been. I mean, complimentary football is a phrase that everybody likes to use. And unfortunately, the only thing that was complimentary was the offensive line going forward and Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. And everything else was, look, they had one great play, and I thought it was beautiful. They saw the tendencies. They scouted it. They talked about it. And, again, I was pleasantly surprised with the Chris Fowler, Lewis Riddick, and Dan Orlovsky broadcast, you know, that Joe and Troy had Vikings and Bears. But they talked about knowing you had a very aggressive corner and setting up Drake London for that beautiful where Drake does the quick, you know, it's like he sucks him in, then goes down the field. Kirk times perfectly. That was great. Build on that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that was the high point of Kirk Cousins' day. A beautifully designed, beautifully scouted, perfectly executed touchdown pass. And then anything else that happened in real time where he's got to really look through traffic and go through his progressions was a blank show.
Yeah. Off script is what they call it. And when things go off script, meaning I was supposed to hit him, but he's not open. Now I got to find another open receiver.
Right.
I'm hesitating. And that is a concern as we talk about last night's game. Let's hear from Coach Raheem Morris after the game with our own Dave Archer.
Raheem Morris now here in countdown or here at the end of the game, and Rod was a little closer than we think was comfortable. I mean, how were you feeling on the sideline?
Hey, you know, the guys played extremely well on defense and special teams, particularly, and they gave us a chance to win that football game down the stretch. Felt good about it with those guys driving down the field. Now guys just really standing up, really play. You know, got a little tired. They got a little tired at the end, and we were able to capitalize and get that ball back.
All right, tell me about the defensive effort. We had 10 tackles for loss. The defensive front was dominant. You had 3 takeaways. You had 4 sacks. Tell me about the defensive
effort. You know, I just love the steady improvement that they've been able to do throughout the season. You know, it's not always what you want at the beginning, but it's how you finish. And these guys have continued to get more physical. They continue to play faster. They continue to play with the way we want to play and our style of defense, and their identity is really coming out, and it's a perfect time right now.
You're trying to win in 3 phases of the game, and there is no doubt that your special teams won tonight in that piece of it.
You know, I can't say enough about what the special teams did. You know, you block that many kicks, you're able to return the ball the way we returned to football, you play poise like they did all night. You know, outside of the one missed field goal, the guys almost played flawless, and what a victory by those guys, and what a great job by our special team coach Marquise.
Your offensive line came off the ball and played on the Raiders side of the line of scrimmage. Bijan and Tyler were dominant, but those guys coming off the ball were dominant.
It was a dirty game up front today, and they played it, and we get ready to go out there with our 2 running backs and our 2-headed monster and run that football for whatever amount of yards we were able to do it. Our guys kept fighting, their guys kept fighting, but I love the resiliency in our guys.
I know there's always things to fix, but it's nice to be able to fix some things when you win and you guys are still in the mix.
It's the only way to fix them, right? Go out there and get wins, and you fix whatever you got to fix to play next week.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Raheem Morris with Dave Archer. And look, Arch asking the question about the defense, he's right. I mean, it was as good of a defense performance. The problem was that offense doesn't scare anybody. That quarterback doesn't scare anybody. They don't have any legitimate wideouts. They may have the best tight end in the National Football League, but who's throwing them the football? Their best running back got hurt and left the game. So this is what I expected to happen. We should have dominated them on defense, knowing all of that.
Yeah, but again, good to see guys like D'Angelo Malone get involved, and Cedar Grove in Western Kentucky, and we've been waiting to see him kind of pop, and that was good. Grady Jarrett was living in the backfield, disrupting. But the guy that I've been asking about, and you know, we thought certainly last year he was going to be a big force, is Caden Ellis.
Yeah,
Caden Ellis was the man. 11 total tackles, 6 solo, a sack. He was just all over the place, and that was great to see. But then getting back to the offense, yeah, I mean, you're setting up. The Raiders were always inside their own 5-yard line. They're in the shadows of their own goalposts the whole game. And you got Ritter, who's horrible, and they had him in the shotgun the whole game. They didn't have confidence in him backing up under center. So that's, you know, to be expected. But what's the offense doing? Well, Bill Barnwell, who does a lot of the analytics and numbers and you know, writes a pretty good column for ESPN, Falcons on first and 10, 24 times last night. They ran the ball 23 of 24 on first down. The one time they threw on first and 10, Cousins throws the pick. Typically threw 42% of the time on first downs before Monday night. So they basically knew that Kirk Cousins is in a dark place, and we're just going to rely on the run game, which we did. And the good news was that the Raiders couldn't stop it, and the right side of the line almost exclusively just kicked ass.
Very predictable.
You can't do that in the playoffs.
No. No.
You can't do that against you're not going to do that against a team that's won 10 or more games and have success.
No.
And that's why we're in the – if you want to say Dukes and Bill, you're in your bag.
We are.
That's the reality we're living in, guys. That's not going to fly against the Packers, the Vikings who just beat us, the Lions, whoever else you're there. Hopefully it flies against the Commanders. We're going to be on Sunday night TV for everyone to see.
Everybody to see. And I hope that we fare much better just from an aesthetic standpoint. I know you guys are going to say, well, you always say it doesn't matter how we win. It doesn't, but it does. It doesn't, but it does. And when you're talking about other fan bases or people around the league looking at our team and going, man, there are teams I watch, guys, on a week-to-week basis, and I go, that's a problem. Right now, I'll tell you this. I was all over Detroit. I don't know if Detroit is going to be able to make it with all of their injuries.
Oof, their front seven is – like I said, we joked around yesterday, they could really use a guy like DeVondre Campbell, who the 49ers said, nope, putting him on ice.
Yeah.
But you look at this the teams which are in the NFC, which are peaking. The Bucs we talked about yesterday.
Well, Mike –
There's juice on offense.
The Eagles are playing the Steelers, right? It was the big game on Sunday.
After the A.J. Brown complaint session, guess what happens?
They show up. They, everything that wasn't working all of a sudden is working for the Eagles, who have one of the most talented rosters in the league. It's just those moments where this is how you expect to play. All right, we'll hear from D'Angelo Malone. We're up against it. He is coming up. Mike mentioned a couple of sacks he had. We're also going to hear from a couple of other guys after the game last night. But when we come back, we got to talk about Gunnar Stockton's play and how it could decide UGA's quarterback future.
because it could. Falcons win last night. It is technically a Falcon Tuesday coming off the Monday night game, but we'll talk some dogs when we come back, and then we'll get back into some of your phone calls as well. 404-726-0929. You can always text us and find us on social media. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.